All righty, folks. That was Something to Hope For by Craig Finn, and here is Something to Hope For. We're gonna get an exclusive interview right now with director and cinematographer River Keller, who is premiering a film at the Minor Theater tomorrow at noon called Golden Hour, and it has two local actors, Marina Benson and Andrew Miller. But hey, welcome on in.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Jordan.
Absolutely, absolutely. So just for those of you who are looking for the info, this is a Humboldt-made short film, and it is going to have a Q&A with director and cast afterwards as well, but we get this little exclusive inside right now, and I encourage everyone to really go out and support not just local filmmakers, but local theater, rising artists. A lot of creatives are coming out of the woodwork here in Humboldt, but right now we're going to talk about Golden Hour, which is premiering tomorrow at noon. At the Minor Theater, and tickets are $5, available at minortheater.com and in person. But I want to kind of go behind the scenes of the film and the process, and even behind this particular project, and really like talk to you as a director. It's very interesting to me. There's a lot of local filmmakers that have been cropping up left and right, and we've been seeing more and hearing more of this local film industry booming in these small and sure. indie ways. But Were you a Humboldt local all along, and like built your filmmaking out of the inspiration from this area, or have you brought something from another area as well?
So I grew up in Florida, but I've only been in Humboldt for about 9 years. So at this point, I consider myself a local. But I lived in Los Angeles for a while, so I worked on a few film projects down there. My brother was the real film buff; went to film school for it. I finished up my degree at Cal Poly Humboldt in marketing, but when I was down in LA, I'd work on film projects with him, and slowly over the course of after graduating school here, I became a videographer, and I started working with nonprofits and local businesses, car dealerships, making ads for them. And eventually, after going back and forth, my brother convinced me, he's like, hey, you seem to really be into video advertising, like, let me show you how to use a professional film camera and just bring that out there and start, you know, just pitching your ideas to local businesses.
So, nice.
Yeah, I've been doing that for about 2 years under River Sky Media is my production company. And yeah, the filmmaking, this is my first short film. This is my first film project. So everything else has been video advertising up until now.
All right. And yeah. And so I guess your brother would be the inspiration for your filmmaking, as opposed to just like starting with what goes on in the camera. How do I get this right in frame for an advertiser? Like the creative element of it is kind of
inspired. Yeah, definitely. When he was 18, made like a Resident Evil short film. So
nice.
Yeah. Got to work on a lot of like little projects growing up with him.
Are you partial to the horror genre?
You know, lately I have been. Growing up, I think I was not a big fan of like the jump scare horror films, like for the sake of jump scares. It's, I think I miss a lot of gems growing up because I grew up on like the Scary Movies and like the Scary Movie franchise films, and I was like, horror's kind of like lame. I'm not a big fan. But after like watching films like Midsommar and Hereditary and The Evil Dead Rises came out recently, which was amazing. It's a mother is like the antagonist and is trying to kill her family. It's terrifying. But yeah, I think only the past few years I've been really getting into horror. And horror really lends itself to short form filmmaking as well. I feel like it's easy to, not easy, but to invest in like a 10-15 minute film that's a horror film versus like a drama or a comedy is, I don't know, I think it's easier to put yourselves in the shoes of the protagonist in short form content that's scary and suspenseful.
Yeah, absolutely. And it has that jump element to it that really kind of gets the heart rate going. And if you can condense it into that time frame, the story can still be palatable without, you know drama has time to sink in, whereas fear
can come on pretty quick.
Fear is instant sometimes. Yeah, that's totally true. So how does the community and the local arts scene kind of fit in with what you have as your vision for yourself as a director right now? Kind of if this is your first big film as far as like indie movie style, approach to filmmaking rather than, you know, what you've done previously. Is the community element of it part of the inspiration and kind of like been a liaison in helping you get the people, the networking, and the ideas flushed out?
I mean, yeah, 100%. This film wouldn't have been made without the local theater community. Having just recently got back into theater, I really utilized a lot of my fellow actors in the film. Marina Benson played opposite me in Sweeney Todd, and Andrew Miller was my understudy in Sweeney Todd as well. And I just finished the screenplay for this film, and I had a time frame that I really wanted to get this thing made in the fall, and I was running out of time. I was like, how am I gonna hold auditions for this thing? And after working on Sweeney Todd for several months, I knew Marina Benson and I knew Andrew Miller could act, and like, you guys would be perfect for this. They were the right age group, and yeah, I couldn't have made the film without them.
That's awesome. So I love seeing a community come together and a plan start to like be brought to fruition, but you know, out of the empathy and the compassion of people who care about the things that you're working on, and you you have to bond with them. You don't make art with people you hate is something that I've heard a long time ago, and that really does especially mean a lot to actors who are new to a community or a theater. Even if they've done this before and they bring a lot of experience with them, there's still this rawness when you walk into the room and it's like, oh, I gotta meet this person and that person, and maybe we're gonna be intimate on stage within the first couple of days, and hi, my name is.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, after like 2 months of working with them, like, yeah, we already mesh like really well, our personalities mesh, and I think it would be great working with them on this short. And
I'm stoked, man.
Luckily it was 3 days of filming up at Big Lagoon, and the state park gave us permission, and went off without a hitch. It was great.
What did you have to adapt when you were in the process? You have the script in mind, you know what's going on, you've talked with your cast, you're there. Are there unexpected things that happen on the fly, whether it's like reactions or environmental things that it's kind of, I now have to on the fly make an accommodation and it changes the direction of the vision, or how do you maintain the reins of the vision in that process?
Yeah, I'd say the vision was kept intact throughout the process, but I mean, we had time running against us. The film is called Golden Hour for a reason. We filmed an hour before sunset, and for better or worse, you're fighting daylight. And you know, after a certain time, we filmed up there for 3 days because I'd be filming an hour or 2 hours before sunset, and then we'd have to call it quits. So sometimes we'd have to rush certain takes or only do one or two takes instead of maybe three or four, and at a certain point, you're like, okay, this is good enough. But as far as changes to the script, I mean, if one of my actors doesn't feel natural in a line that they're saying, we change it. It's like, at the end of the day, I'm more concerned with it coming across as natural than being strict with the exact dialogue of the script. So there were a lot of little dialogue changes that my actors made, or even sometimes added new lines in that made sense. So I'd say those were some of the more minor changes, but it makes a big difference when your actor can add to that. And the whole process seemed pretty collaborative to me, which I think is important.
That is awesome. And I can definitely see where sometimes a word on a page doesn't quite fit right in your mouth,
yeah,
in a sense. And you just kind of have to...
Yeah, my actor was like, no, I would never say that. This character would never say that. And I'd hear them, I'm like, okay, let's try the line. I'm like, no, yeah, you're right. That sounds awful. Let's change it.
I agree. Yeah, definitely. Making it more genuine so that it has the believability, because if the actor believes it, then the viewer will believe in that
right.
message even more. But yeah, for continuity's sake, having that time window, that's a very interesting thing, because you have to only capture a specific angle with a specific amount of light, and you're dependent on the sun, you know?
Yeah, luckily there's a few things I can do in the post-production process as far as like raising exposure, lowering exposure, but you know, this was shot over the course of 3 days and the light's not always going to look exactly the same. So I did my very best to make it seem like one seamless hike.
Nice. Did you have a favorite scene that you shot?
Without giving plot points away, I certainly have a favorite scene that gives plot points away, but one that doesn't give plot points away is in the beginning of the film. So, quick synopsis, this is a story about a couple that are returning from a day hike, and on their way back home, they get turned around and lost in the woods, and on their way back, spooky things start to ensue. But having said that, at the beginning of the film, my protagonist, Sam, is walking in the woods, and she looks up at the sky, and we have a drone shot. So we have a close-up. She looks up at the sky, and after the close-up, we have a drone shot rising in the sky and focused on her. And it's rotating as it's focusing in on her. And then we slowly pan to the trees in the forest and in the area. And then we slowly descend back down on her. And I think it really sets a mood for the beginning of the film. And yeah, it's one of my favorite shots.
Was that the one that, is it the teaser?
It's part of the teaser. That's the ending of the teaser's like half of what I just described, but.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, I'd check it out on Facebook. There's both the poster and there's a small little teaser video for this. If you're on the fence, definitely go and watch this. You don't want to miss this thing.
Also, if you are on the fence, I've heard a lot of folks that it's like, oh, I don't like horror, but you know, having said that, there is no body horror in this. It's a psychological, suspenseful horror film. But if like gore is not your thing, there's no gore.
It's not a slasher kind of situation.
It is not.
All right. Well, hey, mess with my mind. That is what I like to get out of my thrilling horror experience for sure, is the questioning of my own sanity. That's sometimes even more terrifying than anything you see on TV or in the news. Let's see. Is there more to this story?
I would say that this is strictly a standalone short film. I'd say that this is it for it.
But the idea, did it come to you in this kind of like complete small form, or did you pick it out of a larger vision that you had and narrowed in on this one time, this one moment?
I've been working on this script for about 6 months, but I'd say the whole thing came together when I was location scouting. I was location scouting at the Dunes. I was location scouting at Big Lagoon, which is where we ended up filming. And I'd say that really inspired the major plot points of the film. There's a line in the film where they say, if we keep heading east, we'll hit the road soon. And I've been mushroom hunting at Big Lagoon for years now. And I've had that very same thought. I'm like, I am so turned around in here. I don't know where I am, but if I keep heading east, I'll probably hit the road. And it's after scouting there, I'm like, okay, let's make these plot points work based off location and geographical spots here. So like the lagoon itself is a major plot point. And yeah, so having gone there, it just kind of inspired a lot of the film.
That is awesome. I love it when the nature tells you what to do with a narrative or a story.
Yeah, and like, Humboldt's pretty good at doing that.
Yeah, yeah. What are you most excited about for audiences experiencing your new film?
I'm really excited for folks to recognize spots at Big Lagoon. I mean, we live in a beautiful area, and you know, Trinidad is home to a lot of people, and I think when I tell people, like, oh, I filmed it up at Big Lagoon, they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. I go fishing there all the time. So I think for locals, the recognition of these spots will feel pretty cool.
Seeing it in maybe a different light, not quite the same as your day fishing out there when you're watching it through this lens.
Definitely a different lens. But I think people can recognize we have spooky forests too. It's like, especially like when the sun's going down, it's beautiful for that reason as well. You kind of have like this haunted feel to it.
I guess a question to pull behind the mask of the film and the project itself and go deeper in with you is there a specific like filmmaker or movie or something that really inspired and hooked you that has kind of impacted your longer, you know, now decision to go into filmmaking as a career? Is there a particular style or something that really, really gets you at the core?
one of the first films, I wouldn't even call it horror, but it's a suspenseful film called Memento. Christopher Nolan directed it. And when I was taking philosophy courses at Santa Monica College, I ended up writing a paper on the film. And yeah, I'd say that film really spoke to me. You have an unreliable narrator in the film, and he has short-term memory loss, and the film is filmed backwards from like the end to the beginning by day by day. So I think that was the first time I'm like, oh, you don't really have to show a film like beginning to end. Like,
hey, there are no rules.
Yeah, that was the first time I'm like, yeah, there's no rules. And it was a really inspiring film. But as far as horror, I do really like Ari Aster. I think Midsommar in particular, having a horror film completely in daylight, was there's something terrifying about that, because that's another we expect horror films to all be shot in the dark, and to like flip that concept on its head and have it completely in daylight the entire time made it scarier.
Yeah, that's that like terrifying truth.
Yeah,
you know, of reality. It doesn't always happen after dark.
No,
you know, yeah, gruesome things happen during the daytime too. That is. Let's see. Do you have any upcoming projects or ideas you're exploring after this film? I guess like what's next for you as a filmmaker?
I would definitely like to do more horror shorts. I think having done this one, I want to keep scratching that itch. And Humboldt County has some beautiful scenery to do it. So I think for the time being, I recently got cast in Urinetown as one of the leads. So that's certainly going to take up a lot of my time.
Congratulations.
But yeah, I appreciate that. But in my free time, I definitely want to do more weekend horror shoots.
So, sweet. All right. I'll keep that in mind. With this being the premiere tomorrow, what's the next steps for this particular short film? Are you doing any? Are you submitting it to any film festivals? How does that process work? Like, what does that entail?
Yeah, there's a website called filmfreeway.com, and I did recently submit it to the Humboldt Film Festival. So we'll see if I get in there. There's two horror short film festivals in LA that I've submitted it to. So, yeah, we'll see what comes of that. I hope I at least get into the Humboldt one. That would be fun.
Yeah, if you want to keep following, I would follow River on social media, or check out his website, which is
riverskymedia.com.
Awesome. And then, let's see, for listeners who might be interested in filmmaking or acting in film, what would be your advice to give them to get their first start?
You know, I think there's a lot to be said for formal training. I learned a lot on the go and learned from folks that did have formal training. And I think if you have the opportunity to go to school and go to Cal Poly or CR and learn film, that's the way to go initially. If you don't, you can, there's always online tutorials, and you know, you can be your own teacher. But at the end of the day, you have to learn if you like the process. Go out and film stuff, go out and edit things, and you'll learn pretty quickly if it's for you or if it's not.
That I have that same kind of experience in theater and in like my music experience was through an academic lens, but my theater wasn't. It was just trial and error, fail faster, you know, learning in the weeds of it. And to a degree, everything I'm doing right now here on this station, I was never trained in radio or anything. I'm kind of using transferable knowledge from other things, but there is something to be said about having no expectation of where the boundaries, rules, or line is in the sand. Because if you get told what is wrong, even if that's not the case, sometimes that impacts the decisions that you make. So going out and doing it guerrilla style, just kind of off the cuff, seems to have really worked out for you in this film. I mean, we've got a premiere coming out. I'm very excited to see it tomorrow myself.
It did, yeah. I got to see it at the Minor Theater the other day to make sure the audio levels are right and everything was looking good, and it was surreal. And I think folks are gonna have a good time when they come out.
Did you get excited to get the chills?
Oh yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
I'm stoked. I'm very, very stoked to come on out. So if you are an aspiring filmmaker or actor in the Humboldt County area, I encourage you, support local filmmakers and local actors and go out and see some theater. Go out tomorrow to see The Golden Hour at Minor Theater in Arcata. It is $5 at the door. You can go to minortheater.com to get your tickets as well. This is at noon tomorrow, and it is rated R, but there is going to be a Q&A with River and Marina and Andrew afterwards. But make yourself comfortable coming on in and introduce yourself. Put a face to the name. It's a small community. We all think of it as really, really big and diverse and very far away. And while it is diverse, we're also quite literally next door neighbors to
That's true.
Everything. So thank you so much, man. I appreciate you coming on in and talking about this. What are you excited for in the future of Humboldt's film industry?
I would love for Humboldt to have its own sound stage. I think that would really help. Having like a little back lot and soundstage would get folks, just like I said earlier, like filming their little projects and getting things off the ground, and maybe having a short series, like a short film idea become a series. And I think when we collaborate with fellow filmmakers and local artists, that's when things get made. And having spaces to do that is the first step. So
huge. It'd be awesome to see a soundstage pop up in this area. Well, I thank you so much for making it out here on the air. Thank you, everybody, for listening in and tuning in here to K-Hum. I encourage you, get yourself on out there, see Golden Hour. And, man, I gotta get my ticket online tonight. otherwise, I'll be waiting in line tomorrow, and I don't want to. I want to be hanging out and seeing everything first row. So let's pivot on into a quick commercial break. Going to go into some more music on the other side, but deeply appreciate you coming on in and talking with us, man.
Thank you for having me.